John chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So we look here at abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be here, Lord. Grateful again for the opportunity to open your word and speak here from your word. But I pray now, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. Pray, Lord, you use me here today to give me your words and your clarity of thought and your direction for what you want to see accomplished here today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to your people here today. Lord, I pray you'll not let us leave the same way that we've come in here today, Lord. I pray you'll make a change in us for you. Draw us closer to you. Draw us more to abide on you. Help us to trust you with all things, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here in John chapter 15, Jesus and his disciples are on their way from the upper room to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now we do know that in the garden, Jesus will be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He will be arrested. He will be tried. He will be condemned to die by crucifixion. He'll be beaten, mocked, have his beard ripped from his face. He'll be scourged and have chunks of flesh ripped from his body. He'll have a crown of thorns put on his head. And the reality of this is Jesus is becoming aware of this. He is becoming aware of where he is to go, what he is to do. And the reality is Jesus is facing the most terrible event in all of human history. The very Son of God, the very Son of God is going to be nailed to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for all mankind. Remember, that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But now, at this time, he's even facing the collapse of his inner circle. Judas is in the very steps of deceiving him and betraying him. Peter is going to deny him three times. And the other disciples, well, they're just going to leave him. They're going to flee him. They're going to get afraid. They're going to flee him. And they're going to desert him. And that's not even to mention the Jews and the religious crowd that's already rejected him. And they're going to be the ones to cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But remember, he came to save all of them. He came to die for all of them, all people. And now not one single person will be standing there in his time of need. He'll go on in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray to the Father in Matthew 26:39. He'll say, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Even as Jesus is facing this cup, even though he's about to be suffering of the sin debt for all mankind, he's still concerned for his disciples. He still loves his disciples, and he's continuing to prepare them for his death. And as they're pressing forward there, Jesus gives the disciples another lesson here in John chapter 15. The vine and the branches. And we see here Jesus is the vine, God is the vine dresser, and we are the branches. So the subject here in dealing with that is bearing fruit. So we're going to look at that bearing fruit today. And as a Christian, A Christian is to bear fruit. It's not an optional thing. It's not a let's have a discussion about it. God is very clear, the Bible is very clear, that if you're His, you're going to bear fruit. So the question is then, how can I bear fruit? Let me tell you, number one, you got to give your life to Christ. Look here in verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, the first thing you got to do, if you're going to bear fruit, is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the husbandman. Jesus, as the vine, He provides life to the branches. He sustains life to the believer in the same sense. Jesus is that only source of spiritual life. It's not found on CNN. It's not found on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or any of those things. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the source of spiritual life. And when you get spiritual life, salvation, when salvation comes, it brings life, and that life will bring forth fruit. You see, salvation changes the person. It changed me. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible, Jesus in John chapter 3, is talking to a religious man, Nicodemus, and he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus doesn't know the way to heaven. He's a religious man, but he's really dumbfounded and confused that Jesus is saying, you got to be born again. You see, we've all been born of the flesh. We're all here born of the flesh, but Jesus is talking about being born from above, being born spiritual birth from God. You see, that spiritual birth, that conversion will bring fruit. You see, what happens at salvation is that Holy Spirit of God comes in. And the thing with that is that Holy Spirit of God comes in and He makes a home there. He doesn't ever leave. There are a lot of churches out there, and there's even Baptist churches out there, that will teach you that you can lose your salvation. But nowhere in the Bible are we talking about losing your salvation. In verse number 2 here, Jesus is not talking about losing your salvation. A true believer will not be cast out. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. You see, Jesus here is teaching that as a born-again believer, you're attached to Jesus Christ and you're going to bear fruit. You know, if there is no fruit, let me tell you, there is no salvation. The Bible is perfectly clear on that. If there's no fruit, there's no salvation. And Judas is an example of a false Christian. He is an example of one who was a professor. In verse 2, Jesus uses the phrase, in me. In me. No one is considered a branch in the Lord's vine unless you are in Him. Unless you are connected to Him. Right? Just like a branch. Jesus says in John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, you get saved, Jesus has got you. In there, you're not getting out. Right? And then God the Father, you're wrapped around God the Father as well. You're not getting out. And then we know that the Holy Spirit gets involved as well. And He seals you until the day of redemption. You see, you come to Jesus Christ for salvation. He doesn't cast you out, okay? But what we're talking about here is being fruitful. You get saved, you're going to bear fruit. So either you're unfruitful or you're a fruitful branch of the true vine. Now, when we talk about unfruitful branches, those types of branches are not genuine enough to bear fruit. They can't bear fruit. They're not of the true vine. Their profession is more of a profession than a possession. Their profession is more pretending than being. It's more counterfeit than real. Unfruitful branches end up becoming the apostate and the deserters who abandon the faith. So they heard it, but they've abandoned it. Why? Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse number 19. 1 John 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 19. I'll show you this verse here. Right? Judas is a great example of one. I mean, he walked with Jesus. He saw everything Jesus did. He saw all the miracles he did, but he never got salvation. He never got it. He never truly believed. Here in 1 John chapter 2, we're talking about those who never truly got it. Here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." You get that? They left, they went out because they were not of us. "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." You see, no one can bear fruit for the glory of the Lord unless you are attached to the vine. If there is no fruit, the Bible is clear that there is no salvation. The only way you can bear fruit is to be born again. To be born again. It's possible for someone to profess. It's possible for someone to be hard at it. But in time, they might fizzle out. They might go astray. But that verse right there is telling us they left us because they were not of us. Right? And so how do I get born again? Well, you got to see yourself as a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. You know, the wages of sin is death. And we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He paid it all. So all you got to do is receive the finished work of Jesus Christ. He paid it all, and that's the Bible way of salvation. Romans 10:9-10 explains how it looks like. "And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." That's what salvation looks like. That's what it looks like. But nowadays, we have plenty of people that are in religion. They're not in Jesus Christ. They are in religion. And we have a lot of people that are in church, but they're not in Jesus Christ. They're all over the place. They're all over Macon. Right? They're in church, but they're not in religion. There are many who are moral, many that are good people. You would say, yeah, they're good people. They're outstanding people, but they are not in Jesus Christ. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? That's pretty deep, isn't it? Well, turn over to Matthew chapter 7, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 7 goes on here, and Jesus tells us a little bit more. In Matthew chapter 7, look there in verse 20. All right. Well, I could really read the whole thing, but let me just start at verse number 20. "Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them." But here 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." What's the will of the Father? That all would get saved. That all would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, 22 says, "Many," he didn't say a couple or a few, he says, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works." Right? All these people that are in church, in religion, in something other than Christ, right here is who we're talking about. They're not in Christ. And Jesus says here in verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And Judas is an example of that. Right? He never got it. He never got it. So what is my point? Before you can have the hope of heaven, before you can have the forgiveness of sins, you must have a relationship with Jesus. You must be in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves," okay? "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So I just want to make sure that we can all pinpoint a time in our life where we knew we were a sinner, condemned to die, and we turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. Has there been a time in your life? Has there been a time in your life? Moving on here, we'll go to the second point. Once we have a life in Christ, we got to keep your life in Christ. Keep your life in Christ. in John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, if you could flip back over there where we started, in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. So we got to give our life to Christ if we're going to produce fruit. And then we got to keep your life in Christ. Here, John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." A vine has one purpose, to produce fruit, to bear fruit. If you notice, the vine itself doesn't bear the fruit, but it delegates the fruit bearing to what? The branches. Right? Fruit bearing is the purpose of a true branch. The branch does not live for itself. The branch lives for the vine. And so the more that a branch abides in the vine, the closer the branch abides to the heart of the vine. So what does all that mean? It means the more nourishment that a branch can draw, the closer it gets to that vine. It's going to draw more nourishment off of that vine the closer it is to that vine, and it's going to bear more fruit when it does that. So how does that have to do with me? Well, as a Christian life, I am to die to my flesh. I am to die to myself. I die daily is the call that Paul used. I die daily. I die to myself. I die to my will, and I live for Christ. I live for His will. Okay? See, if you try to bear fruit in your life without abiding in Jesus Christ, it's kind of like trying to plug in a light, trying to power a light without plugging it into the wall. Right? Without no electricity, it's not going to power up. Right? We got to be charged up. Our life has to be centered on Christ. I have to die to the things that I want to do and the things that I desire for my flesh, and I just have to trust Him for His will. So how do we do that? Well, we got to keep our life centered in Jesus Christ. We got to remember that we are just the suit that God wears. We are just the car that He drives. We are just the tool that He uses to complete His will. Okay? None of these objects require any recognition. None of these require any attention. All we're talking about here is being centered in Christ. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He supplies our energy. He supplies our strength. It's kind of like this. The moon and the planets all revolve around the sun. And so we are to do the same thing with Jesus Christ. Do you realize that this earth that we live on is in the perfect place within a distance from the sun? If we were any closer to the sun, there wouldn't be any life because it'd be too hot. If we were any further away from the sun, there wouldn't be any life because, why? It'd be too cold. Right? But God, when He designed all that, perfect place, right? Perfect. Right? He designed it perfect. But the entire universe revolves around the sun, S-U-N, and we need to be revolving around the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, right? That's what I'm talking about here. But unfortunately, many people revolve their lives around their job. We revolve our lives around our job, our occupation, and we let our job dictate what we do for Christ. Hey, let me just say, don't let your job declare whether you serve God or not. Don't let your job declare whether you come to church or not. It's never God's will for the Christian to be out of church, even if it's for work. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Food, raiment, everything you need in life for God to take care of you. We just need to get a job that doesn't keep us out of church. But how many of you know people, when vacation time comes, they pack up and leave? They leave God. They leave the church. They don't leave their tithe at the church. They take that with them to travel on. Right? They don't make arrangements for their responsibilities. They just kind of go off and go on. But let me just say this. Vacation is great, but you ought to not go anywhere if you don't first call and make sure there's a good church that you can go to. If there's no good church there, you need to go somewhere else. All right? Go somewhere where you know you can have a vacation, but you can also have that time to go to church. Okay? And I don't mean tune in to the service online. I know. I mean, find a good church and go to that church when you're on vacation. Right? If there's no church, go somewhere else.
Colossians 1:18 says, "And He is the head of the body, Jesus Christ, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might receive, He might have the preeminence." Okay, it's Jesus Christ. A lot of people become material centered on things of the world, centered on things of all the worldly things in this life. If you remember in Luke chapter 14, the saying is, "I purchased a yoke of oxen, I cannot come. I purchased a field and I must go and look at it." Right? All the excuses, one after another. "I can't go. I can't come to church. I got to do this. I can't go to church. I got to do this. I can't go to visitation. I got this and this and this." Right? But the more material items that we acquire and take on, the more time it's going to take to take care of them. The more time it's going to interfere with living for God. The more time it's going to take away from the church, away from God's stuff, to fulfill the requirements for that stuff, right? But you don't have to have the latest gadget, right? You don't have to have the nicest house, the biggest house, or the fastest car, right? Hey, if you got it, sell it, downsize, right? If it's in the way of serving the Lord, get rid of it, right? Responsibility should always come to Jesus Christ first. But many also will have a pleasure-centered life. Pleasure-centered life. "Oh, preacher, I've only got one day off. Sunday is my only day off." I understand. I've been there. I understand. But that's okay. It's the Lord's day. It's His day. Right? Every Sunday is Resurrection Day. Just give it to Him. Right? He'll take care of it. But that's not what our verses are teaching us. Right? It's teaching us that Christ is to be first in everything. First in everything. Our job, our marriage, our home life, our work life, all of our things, even within our family, because our families, a lot of families, are not experiencing the abundant Christian life because what we've done is we've pushed Jesus so far back and out of everything, just like our government, just like our schools, and look what's happened to them. Right? We've pushed Jesus out of the government and out of schools, and look at where we're at. And our families, look at where we're at with that. You know, there's so many people out there right now today that say, "I can't go to church on Sunday. You know how much stuff I could be doing? I could be going to the lake, and I could be going to the fair, and I could be going to do this, and I could be doing all these great things. All these great things." But Jesus Christ says, if you're His, if you're born again, you're going to bear fruit. "He that abideth in Me." When you abide in Christ, there may not be any time for any of those other things. The more you abide in Christ, you may not want to do any of those other things. He is to be first in all things. And here's the key again. I'm going to tell you the key. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we are walking in the Spirit, if we're filled with the Spirit, we're not going to want to do those things of the flesh. We're going to be able to put the flesh to rest. We're going to be able to die to the flesh. But if we let our flesh build up in us and we're not walking in the Spirit, obviously the flesh is going to win, isn't it? But you know, we all know that, what this flesh can do, how powerful this flesh is. You know, don't think that I've arrived and you're not arrived. Right? I'm right there with you. This flesh is deadly. This flesh is distracting. This flesh, it's a hindrance and it's a discouragement, and you can easily become defeated in this flesh if you let it. If I'm not filled with the flesh, if I'm not able to defer certain things and let them bounce off of me and let them go, you know, that's the devil's going to use that on me. But I've got to learn to walk in the Spirit on everything. Right? If we walk in the Spirit, you know what's going to happen? God is going to supply all of our needs. He says He will. He promises us that He'll do that, and He will. Everything you need, I need in our life to enjoy life, to finance our life, to live our life, all we need to do is depend
on Him. Don't depend on yourself. Walk in the Spirit. It's kind of like these pianos here. If we were to try to tune these pianos, and remember, I'm not a music person, all right? But if we were to try to tune these pianos by tuning them together, that wouldn't work, would it? We need a tuning instrument. One at a time, you tune that piano, and it would sound great. But unfortunately, as Christians, we attempt to tune ourselves with all kinds of worldly pleasures. We try to tune ourselves with other Christians, and then that leaves us no harmony. No harmony among us. But when we tune ourselves with Christ, when we draw close to that vine, when we draw our power, our strength from that vine, He'll provide complete harmony. Right? Let's move on here. Number three, I want you to see here that you need to keep your life in His Word. Keep your life in His Word. Back in our text in John chapter 15, verse number 3 says, "Now ye are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you." In verse 7, He says, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you." Right? If we are to abide in Jesus, we are to be wrapped up in Jesus, we're to be living for Jesus. Everything is about being in Jesus. He says, "If you love Me, what? Keep My commandments." All right, and that is our life. But many of us say we love Jesus, but do we? Are we bearing fruit that resembles that we love Him? If you love Me, keep My commandments. But many have no idea how to love Him or how to please Him because we're not in His Word. We're not in His Word. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so if we're going to abide in Christ, we've got to be in His Word. If you're going to grow in Christ, you got to have His Word. If we're going to increase our faith, we need the Word of God. Everything revolves around the Word of God. And again, everything doesn't revolve around Facebook. Okay? Right. All that stuff on Facebook is a lie anyway. Everybody puts on there their greatest days, their best things that they ever did, their best haircut, right? You know, I didn't take a picture. I got a haircut. Right? I didn't put it on and say, "Look, I got a haircut." No. I'm saying you got to abide in Christ. All those things aren't going to bring truth. They're not going to bring faith. Only the Word of God is what's going to do that. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Day and night, we're to be in His Word. Psalm 1:2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." You get what I'm putting down here? We're to be in the Word of God day and night. The Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Psalm 119:105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Hey, we need to be in the Word. So keep your life in His Word. Number four, you've got to keep your life in prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing, okay? How often do you pray? Right? We have many prayer promises in the book, in the Word, but do we take advantage of them? Do we dial God up on His promises of prayer? In John chapter 15, verse 7, He says, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." If you abide in Me, that's Jesus Christ, My words abide in you, His words, that's the Bible, you shall ask what you will, that's having a prayer life. That's humbly coming before the throne of grace. That is praying without ceasing. That is taking everything that comes upon us before the Lord in prayer. You know, hey, not only the good things, not only the bad things, not only the little things, not only the big things, all things to come before the Lord. Remember, the branch is attached to the vine. It never faces one moment where it is not attached to the vine. That's how the believer is. We are not ever disattached from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are always with Him. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Deuteronomy 31:6, He tells us, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So let me ask you, do you believe that promise? Do you believe that promise? So how many hours a day are we reading our Bible? How many hours a day are we praying? Or do I need to dumb it down a little bit more? How many minutes are we reading our Bible a day? How many minutes are we praying a day? Right? You see, we need to search ourselves, right? Because we should be about reading His Word. We should be about meditating in His Word. We should be about studying and memorizing His Word. And that should carry over into our life and always have in a prayer life. You see, we must be in constant fellowship, in constant prayer. We must be praying without ceasing, right? We want power. We want to get things done. The promises are there. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, "Ask and shall be given you; seek and you shall find it; knock and it shall be opened unto you." Right? There's the promise, but do you get it? Do you obtain it? Do you reach out and take it? Matthew 18:19. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Over and over again, the Bible is telling us to pray, to pray, to pray. Jesus is what? He is our example in prayer. It's been said that one praying man stands as a majority with God. Do we take it before God? Do we get on our knees and pray? It says, it's been said also that a sinning man will stop praying and a praying man will stop sinning. So think about that. Where are you at in your prayer life? Have you stopped praying? Hey, is there some things we need to get right with the Lord? A sinning man will stop praying and a praying man will stop sinning. I got one more point for you here. Lastly, I want you to see here that we need to keep your life bearing fruit. Keep your life a life-bearing life. Here in John 15:8, he says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." He's talking about bearing much fruit. Not a little fruit, not no fruit. He says, you can bear much fruit. He makes it very clear here that it's not optional. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, God expects His children to obey Him. He expects His children to be fruitful. And the evidence of a true disciple means that God is going to be glorified with the fruit that you are producing. Now, I want you to see a couple things here. I want you to see, first of all, what is your purpose in life? You ever ask yourself that? Why am I here? Why was I born to live here in 2025? What is the purpose? Well, it really doesn't matter what year you were born. Your purpose is to glorify God. That's why you were brought here. You are to glorify Him. You can glorify Him many ways. You can glorify Him by producing much fruit. We're not here because I'm a good person, or we're not talented. That's not why we're here. We're here for one reason, and that's to bring glory to God. Revelation 4:11, that is the verse. It says in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's why we are brought about, to bring glory to God. So I ask you, how are we doing in that? Are we bringing glory to God in our jobs, in our work centers, in the things that we do where we make a living? Are we bringing glory to God? Are we honest in our dealings with people? Hey, are we bringing glory to God if you're in school? Are you bringing glory to God in your studies? Hey, are you bringing glory to God in your homes? In your homes, right? Is everything that's done in the home bringing glory to God? Husbands, loving your wives. Wives, submitting to the husbands. Okay, are we glorifying God in all that we do in those areas? God's not interested in what we can do for Him. He's interested in us letting Him work through us to produce fruit. And He wants to do that, and He wants to produce fruit in us. And when we do that, it's going to glorify Him. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "Wherefore, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." You're never going to produce fruit until you start pleasing the Lord. You're not going to please the Lord if you're not producing fruit Okay? The fact is, producing fruit is a very simple thing. You say, what are you talking about? Well, think about it here. Fruit bearing is an absolutely passive activity. If you will do one thing, you will bear fruit. Did you get it from the text? If you do one thing, anybody know what that one thing is? If you abide in Him. If you abide in Him. He says it over and over again in the text that we read. He says, if you abide in Jesus Christ, if the branches will abide in the vine, if you abide in Jesus Christ, they are going to bring fruit. And this fruit that is bore there, it's going to happen. Right? If you get close to that vine, it's going to bear fruit. Abide in Jesus Christ. That's all that's required for you to rely on Him, for you to trust Him, for you to draw your life strength from Him. Now, whenever I was, you know, I was saved at 38, didn't get into a good church until a little later, about 40 years old. But when I started getting in church, you know, getting into Bible college, I was always taught that, hey, if somebody asks you to do something, you just do it, right? If it's for the Lord, right? You're not doing it for yourself. You're just doing it for the Lord, right? You just do it, right? Just do it. And why is that? Because it's for the Lord. It's not for you. I'm not drawing my strength from me. It has nothing to do with me, okay? Because I said I can't preach. I said I could not get into a pulpit there and preach out of the Bible. I don't even know the Bible, right? I don't know much Bible at all. Okay, it's but. You remember that, right? I say, but I. But that's the problem. That's the problem. I would say, but I can't. And the problem is that's pride. That's pride. I was looking at within. I wasn't looking at what the vine could do for me. I was looking at what the branch, me being a branch way out here on my own. No, I couldn't do it because I was out there on my own. I had to learn how to rely on the Lord. And I told you a couple things on how the Lord had used and brought situations in my life, showing me and reminding me that I needed to just trust Him. I needed to abide in Him, all right? Because in my own, I can't do this on my own, but I have to learn how to abide in Him. I have to stay close to the vine, and He'll supply all the needs, right? And so what did I do? I got under good preaching, went to Bible college, studied the Bible, studied. Even when I say, I'm done, I quit. Remember? I quit. I'm done. I can't do this. There's no way I can memorize 50 verses in 2 weeks. I quit. Right? But then, you know, I pick it right back up and just keep at it. Why? Because I had learned that I had to abide in the vine. What this is, it's not a physical thing. It's not a me thing. It is I have to die to myself. And that's an everyday thing. Because I'm no different than anybody here. I have this flesh, and my flesh desires to do things that I might want to do and do other things, right? But as long as I abide in the vine, as long as I abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, abide in me. And if we could just learn to abide in Him, so many things in our life would go so much better. We would probably alleviate a lot of troubles. We'd probably alleviate a lot of heartaches if we could just learn to abide in Him. Paul says this in Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what it's about. You see, I had to come to that realization that, you know, I was, you know, 38 years old, I was full of pride. You know, I was in the military, full of pride. Right? God had to bring me down and humble me and bring me low, right, before, and teach me a lot of things before we could ever get to the point we're at today. And I'm nowhere there. I still need prayer. I still need to abide in Him. Okay? We're all in this together. We got to learn to abide in Him. And so the point of that all is abiding in Jesus Christ sounds difficult, but the reality is it's not really that difficult. All we got to do is abide in Him. abide in Him. So let me ask you, are you abiding in Jesus Christ? Are you abiding fully, completely? Right? Are you bearing the fruit of that vine? Is our life a resemblance, right? Today's Resurrection Day. Today, is we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the Lord coming out of the tomb, a glorious promise. We, as Christians, we know what He did for us, and we can rejoice in that. But I think it's time we get a reminder as well that all that is great, but what are we doing for Him? What are we doing for Him? And if we just draw nigh to that vine, draw nigh to Him, He's going to produce fruit in your life. So let me ask you, are you relying on yourself for life? Are you relying on yourself for money or food or a job or some other things? Or are you relying on the vine? Do you draw your strength from the Savior? Abide in Jesus Christ. Give Him the keys of your life and just trust Him. So why not make your life about abiding in Jesus here today? Let's pray.